In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. From St. John Chrysostom to the Blessed Theophylact, all of them take a look at this reading that we have today, and they focus, as in many times, upon Christology, the evidences that Jesus Christ and God the Father Almighty are one. And they use specific language from the prophets, and they use specific language from those things that are most clearly known to be evidences of the one God. And so it's especially poignant to me, and I'm going to depart from the normal kind of discourse, because I want to say something to you that's, well, for me, it's rather emotional. It's not rather emotional, it's very emotional. You know, you can almost hear a plaintive cry when the Lord said, "You should walk while you have the light." Now, we hear this more than once throughout the year, but this is particularly important now because he is going to ascend in, you know, about 12 more days. And he's not going to be there. And I want to tell you, I had a professor, Chong Song Kim, and Dr. Kim was Korean, and he got permission to come to the United States to study, and he had to leave his wife and child, and he left them for 10 years. And I learned this word, diremption. It's not a word that, you know, one in 10,000 will know. Diremption, D-I-R-E-M-P-T-I-O-N. He used this word, and I never forgot it, because it means not just a separation, but kind of a tearing apart. A tearing apart. If you love somebody, and they love you back the same way that you love them, then the most horrible thing anybody can do is to separate you from the one that you love. It's the worst for me. You know, when I love someone, I want to hear their voice. I want them to put their arms around me. I want to put my arms around them. I lost my father of confession. He was 40 years my father of confession. And I would give anything to just have a little bit more time with him. You know, now I'm sure that wouldn't satisfy me. I'm sure that sometime later on I would complain again. But just to feel him, you know, to feel his embrace, to hear the sound of his voice. Do you know what that would mean to me? Or my friends that I lost, Abuna Antonius Hanayan and Abuna Daniel Farag. These are terrible things in my life. I can't begin to tell you how difficult it is for me to find a friend. Because I have, when I use that word friend, I do not mean acquaintance. I mean friend. I mean somebody who is going to communicate to you the deepest things. The things that matter the very most. And there's a jeopardy in that, because the things that matter most to that person may not matter the most to you, in fact. But he's sharing that with you. The deepest things. I remember Abuna Lua one time told me, he was always reading from Isaiah to me particularly, and he was reading something and he said these exact words, "When I read this, I almost lost my mind." think about that. I almost lost my mind. How does somebody lose their mind in Scripture? It's when you realize that all of the power and all of the education and all of the experience you possess, it's dropped into the mystery of this pool of God, and it dissolves, and you are nothing. It's not just losing your mind, it's losing everything. It's being captured. How many people come to church dying to have the embrace of Jesus Christ or to hear the voice of Jesus Christ? You know, when you hear the words from the Holy Bible, this is the voice of God. And it bothers me. Look, everybody has their own abilities, but it bothers me like crazy when the deacons are so lazy, and you know who you are. Lazy deacons who have a hard time pronouncing words clearly. Why you don't read in advance? Why you don't go over it? You are going to be the representative in that moment for the entire congregation. You are going to bear the word of God as the prophets did. Why are you not so very careful as not just to read it, but to imbue it with the feeling that you have? The Lord says to us, again, plaintively, walk in the light. You know, they make a big deal out of prepositions, and prepositions are important. But there's a difference between believing someone and believing in someone. When you believe in someone, you have to expend your entire faith. No question. You know, I believe that this game that I want to see is going to be on TV at a certain time, because I've seen on the menu on the DirecTV that you know the Western Conference series is going to come on next, and I want to see what's coming on. And I trust it. I believe it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. The Lord said, you know, you are his sons and daughters. You, as I've told you, if I could just for a moment put my arms around Abuna Daniel or Abuna Antonius or Abuna Beshoy Dimitri or Abuna Loa, if I could just do this just for a second, it would be so relieving to my soul. And I would confess to them deeply, and I want to. And of course, I know they can hear, as the Lord chooses to allow the holy things that we do on earth to be experienced in heaven. And so in confession, with my tears, I would say, I'm sorry I wasn't a better friend. I'm sorry I wasn't a better son. I'm so sorry. And as I look back now, the things that I put in the way of that, they were nothing. They were trivial. Why did I argue? When somebody said something, why did I argue? Let me tell you three stories really fast. The first one is about a man that St. Pachomius had heard, an abbot of a small cenobium. Cenobium is a collection, a monastic group of monks. And he heard that this one abbot loved this one monk more than any of the others. And he thought, that's a recipe for disaster. Look what happened to the patriarch and the coat of many colors that he gave his son. Well, he went there and he said, I want to see this young man, this young monk. And so they knocked on the cell door, and for a pretense, they sent him out so they could examine his life in his cell. And so when this abbot and St. Pachomius went into his cell, they found out he was doing the work of a scribe. And he was going to write the letter Omega, which kind of looks like our W. And he had written half of it. How long would it have taken him to write the other half? This is half. This is the other half, right? How long would it have taken? But before he finished that letter, when he heard the knock, he got up immediately. What does this tell you? This tells you that his will was bound entirely into obedience so that he might learn and he might prosper and he might find himself more acceptable to God. Okay? Now, case number two. St. Bishoy had an attendant or an acolyte. He had somebody who was his son. And St. Bishoy was counted because of his humanity and his acceptance of strangers. Water where he was so precious, yet when someone came, he would use the little water that he had to wash their feet. And for this, the Lord himself came, and St. Bishoy washed the feet of the Lord. Look at the icon when you come in. He washed the feet of the Lord. And then as the Lord then left, the disciple came and he offered him this water. The disciple looked at the water and saw that it was dirty. And he said, "Why are you giving me this?" And St. Bishoy told him the story. The disciple rushed to drink the water and the water disappeared. The third case. There was a monk, a famous monk. Highly educated, more educated than anybody else in the monastery. And one day he's walking towards the refectory where the monks will have their common meal. And on the path he saw a rock. And he moved the rock. And the abbot of the monastery was standing next to the rock. And he slapped him in his face. He said, "Why did you remove that rock? Who told you to move that rock?" So he put it back. He went and he ate with the brethren. When he finished, he came back the same way. And there was the abbot and there was the rock. And the abbot slapped him in the face and said, "Why didn't you move the rock? One of your brothers may trip over it and hurt themselves." What's being taught here? What's being taught? I gave you three cases. It's that the will to be must be the will to be absorbed. The Lord said, "Believe in me, believe in me, believe in me, that you may become sons of light." It said many of the people believed, but they didn't acknowledge Jesus because of fear that would be thrown out of the synagogue. That's not believing in him. That's believing him. Believing in him to be a son or a daughter of the light. It means you must be absorbed into that light so that there is no difference between your essence. So you have these three cases. In the first case that I gave you, the monk was very, very obedient. He was working towards this end. In the second case, the monk was, as we have been taught, you know, ever since I was a little kid and I got gold stars or blue ribbons on my homework papers or little stamps with happy faces or things like that, and people telling me, "Oh, you're so smart, you can do anything." I remember I had a teacher in eighth grade. Her name was Mrs. Downs. Mrs. Downs. And she wrote this terrible thing on the back of my report card. She said, "If your son would do the work, he would expend scarcely any effort and he would get all A's. I didn't have all A's. I had a mixture of grades. Some A's, some B's, some C's. I did it on account of what? My will. When I found later on that I could get esteem, that people would admire me, when people would think things of me, and I could achieve that because of being studious. There's one point, and I've told you this before, there was a professor, he said, well, there have been two A's on this test. And I shouted out, who got the other one? I knew I got an A. I knew I got the A. I knew it. It was no risk. Imagine if I hadn't gotten an A, if I'd gotten a B+ or something, right? Imagine that. How much humiliation would have been heaped on my head. But I knew there was no prospect like that in the offing. I knew I was smart. I knew if I just did a little bit of work, I would succeed. But it was always about my will. And this is in the three cases that you see. The first man that the abbot was accused of liking more than the rest, Saint Pachomius said at the end, I love him the most too. I love him the most. Just as you love him the most, I love him the most. In the second case with Saint Bishoy, there's the guys thinking, Why are you giving me dirty water? We have a right to think, do we not? Yes, as long as we want to be autonomous. Auto means self. Nomos means the law. As long as we want to be a self-law. But as soon as we want to be in Christ, not believing in Christ, in Him, we have to give all that up. People talk about free will. There is no such thing as free will for a Christian. There is no such thing as free will for a Christian. No free will for a Christian. Because as soon as you become a Christian, your confession and your hope and your desire is to do the will of your Father. And in the last case, you had the person who, you know, he was so, the last case I'm talking about, he was so bright. There wasn't anybody in the monastery that was as smart as he was. No one was as smart as he was. He had all of the knowledge. And so what did this abbot do? He smacked him because he moved the rock. Then he smacked him because he didn't move the rock. And the essence of this was that he would not think for himself, but he would think like Christ. And the first thing that you do is you ask. You ask your Father what you should do. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He wants to feel our embrace. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to know that we want to be with him, that we do not want to be self-directed, but we want to be directed by him, in him, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I hope this for all of you and myself first. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's been recorded or not. That's a mess.